The Worldview recently reported that thousands of pagers were detonated across Lebanon last Tuesday, injuring nearly 3,000 and killing 12 people. Now, the attack targeted fighters with the terrorist group Hezbollah, but also killed civilians. The group had switched to using pagers instead of cell phones for security reasons. Then, in a second wave of attacks, handheld radios were detonated across Lebanon last week as well, killing 14 people and injuring another 450. Welcome into Generations. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. Lebanese and Hezbollah officials are accusing Israel of conducting the attacks. We're going to get to the bottom of this now with Pastor Mark Biltz, a leading Middle East author, analyst, and expert on eschatology, including the very news story that I cited. Now, he's written a number of books that you might have heard of: God's Daytimer, The Believer's Guide to Divine Appointments, Decoding the Prophet Jeremiah, What an Ancient Prophet Says About Today, as well as Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times, What the Bible Says and What the Future Holds. Mark is the founder and senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State. He's a well-known and popular speaker on the feasts of the Lord and has authored 4 best-selling books and videos on the feasts that have now gone global. You can learn more at his website, El Shaddai Ministries website, esm.us, ESM for El Shaddai Ministries, esm.us. Pastor Biltz, I'm delighted that we can talk to someone with your background. You're a Messianic Jew whose father was Jewish, and you even trace a number of generations back to the Holocaust, don't you?
Oh, definitely. My relatives died in the Holocaust, and they are listed in Israel at the Holocaust Museum.
Pastor Biltz, who was behind the detonation of these pagers and cell phones in Lebanon?
Oh, definitely the Mossad in Israel. They were made in Taiwan, then they were shipped to Budapest, Hungary. And Israel had kind of a front business, and that is where they installed these little bombs that are very explosive in each one of the pagers before they went out to Hezbollah. No doubt about that.
How long ago were these pagers and cell phones sent out from Israel?
I believe it's within the last 6 months.
Why would Israel not take credit for doing it if they are clear about sending a message to the terrorists that they can't get away with what they're doing?
They don't need to. Everyone knows they're the only ones that have the technology to accomplish something like this. That is a first ever action. Everyone knows it was the Mossad.
Tell us who the Mossad are. What is that?
They're the people that might come across as a farmer or just a regular person. And of course, a lot of them are undercover in Arab countries, and they fluently speak Arabic. You just wouldn't know. I mean, our FBI, everyone knows an FBI agent. They all dress the same, walk and talk the same. But the Mossad is much more professional, and no one has any idea. That's why Hezbollah is so upset right now, because they know that they have traitors within them. So this is how the game is played.
Tell me about Hezbollah, the group. Where do they come from? Who funds them?
Very important. Many people don't know about Islam. They're really divided into two groups. You have the Shiites, who are ruled by Iran, and they are the ones that are descendants of Muhammad. And then you have the Sunnis, and they are the descendants of the generals or the military. And Iran, who is Shiite, they rule Lebanon. But now in Gaza, it's Hamas, who are more Sunni. But they don't mind working with them, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So even though they work together, in the end, they'll end up destroying each other. Now, the head of Syria is actually an Alawite, all right, which is a sect of the Shiites. But what's fascinating is at this time, you have within Islam, the Shiites and the Sunnis working together in order to destroy Israel. And of course, Iran funds both.
Hezbollah was established after the Iranian Revolution, about 1982, right?
Yes.
And it was tied to the Israeli invasion of Lebanon. Am I correct in that?
Yes. And then Israel ended up giving the border of Lebanon back. And then there's been nothing but trouble since then. And now they're bombing the different sites along the northern border. And over 100,000 Jews have had to leave their towns. The big problem in Israel right now is they all want to go home. And that can only be done if Hezbollah is taken out along the border.
So to be clear, Hezbollah, this terrorist group in Lebanon, is funded by Iran.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, a lot of the Lebanese government isn't in charge. It's the Hezbollah government, and there's a lot of fighting going on between the Lebanese and Hezbollah because they don't want to be wiped out.
Hezbollah actually is an Arabic word meaning party of God. So because they are descendants of Muhammad as Shiites, they believe that they are, in essence, anointed through the lineage of Muhammad. Is that correct?
Yes. And what's interesting, when you bring up that name, Hamas means violence. And that's one of the reasons why God destroyed the world in Noah's day, was because of the violence. Twice that is mentioned. Amalek means a nation who chops up body parts, which is exactly what Hamas did when they went into Israel back on October 7th. So a lot of these things are recurring. This is what happens over and over. And this is why the people from Gaza are really like Amalek, who Iran represents.
I'm looking at one reference about Hezbollah's origins, established by Lebanese Shiite clerics, Muslim clerics, who adopted the model set out by Ayatollah Khomeini after the Iranian Revolution of 1979, created with the support of 1,500 Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, and that's the foundation for Hezbollah, this Muslim terrorist group based in Lebanon today. Where else do these tentacles go from Lebanon?
They really go all over. And what Christians, many of them don't understand, is Islamic Jihad. It takes on like three different forms. It starts with jihad of the hand, where they go and kill the infidel. And if they're not able or powerful enough to do that, it goes to jihad of the mouth, where they start protesting. And if they can't do that, it goes to jihad of the heart, where they plan to destroy things. This is what happened on 9/11. They weren't powerful enough to attack America at first, and they didn't do protesting. They learned how to fly planes. And then after they were ready, then there were all kinds of Israeli protests, and then the towers blew up. Well, that's what's going on right now. Pearson Publication is the largest publisher of school textbooks in the world. And they're the ones who print the textbooks for both the colleges and the high schools. And many don't know Pearson Publishing is owned by Arab nations. In particular, Qatar is the number one shareholder in this. And they've been shipping Islamic material and paying for the teachers in the universities, which is why we see all of the civil uprising in the university. So these tentacles go very far.
Well, beyond that particular provider of education materials, why are so many of the college professors advocating for Hamas, opposing Israel, and believe that it was a good thing that Israel was attacked on October 7th, 2023?
Because we have to remember, it's always about the money. They are professors, so all they want is money. That's always what it comes down to. It's always about the money. And these professors, they want to preach against Israel. They're pro an Islamic takeover of the United States, which is why Americans have to get involved in their school boards.
But you haven't explained it. How are the professors in America benefiting from Hamas? Why would they be so hostile to Israel?
Because they probably make $200,000 a year as a professor.
Are you saying the universities would not employ them if they were not anti-Israel? They wouldn't have a job?
Yes, pretty much. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. It's more of what has seeped into the college campuses that, on balance, they are anti-Israel in these very politically correct establishments. And that's been the direction, kind of the Marxist direction, for the last 30 or 40 years. You're not tying it directly to funding from Hezbollah or Iran or some other terrorist group directly to the professors, though.
Well, I think it goes from Qatar directly to the university, and the universities want to keep the money flowing from Qatar. So they
well, that's what I'm asking about.
Islamic programs. That's what happens.
So you're saying Qatar funds Islamic programs on the college campuses that are taught by the professors, or what? What's the connection with the professors?
Yes, professors that they bought. These are professors who are pro-Islamic that have been planted in the university.
Wow. You're listening to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. My guest by telephone line is Pastor Mark Biltz. He joins us from Washington State and is the founder and senior pastor of El Shaddai Ministries. Their website is esm.us. He's written a number of books, including God's Daytimer, The Believer's Guide to Divine Appointments, Blood Moons, Decoding the Imminent Heavenly Signs, and Decoding the Antichrist and the End Times, What the Bible Says and What the Future Holds. As we look into some of the backwaters, as it were, what's animating the chaos in the Middle East right now. I'm Adam McManus. We'll be right back.
Hello, my friends. For the last 15 years, the Generations team has produced a Christian curriculum specifically for families who want to give their children a God-centered, Bible-saturated, biblical worldview-based education. Our commitment is to restore the Christian faith, generational faith, in an age where we are losing faith in this country and almost anywhere around the world, where Christian children attend secular schools or use secular curriculum and imbibe secular culture. Now, we're not relying on the pre-Christian Greeks for an educational model here. We're not relying on the post-Christian secularists for the education model either. Our curriculum is based in a biblical worldview. We put hundreds of Bible verses in the history books and integrate the truths into the subjects. We want to glorify God on every page of the science books. We immediately integrate knowledge into life application and natural revelation with special revelation. We keep Christ at the very center of the history books with preparing the world for Jesus and taking the world for Jesus. I believe God is calling this generation in this highly secularized age to a radical change in how they disciple their children. Please check out our program for education of your children and grandchildren at www.generations.org.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. We continue with Pastor Mark Biltz. He is the founder of El Shaddai Ministries, based in Washington State, and their website is esm.us. In fact, Pastor Biltz will be traveling to Israel itself in December. Are you fearful for your own life as you go there, and what is the purpose of your trip?
Thank you so much for asking. The purpose of my trip is to get people from all over the world to see what life is really like in Israel, because of all the fake news that we have here. Nobody knows what it's really like, but I am absolutely unafraid of going. I've gone every year for over 25 years, and we've never had problems. But to be honest with you, I've almost been killed so many times, I've lost count. I've literally had guns at my head twice, and they said they were going to kill me. Major car accidents, major medical malpractice, plus almost eaten by lions when I went to Africa. If it's not my time, it's not going to happen. And if it is, there's nothing I can do about it. So I go through life now with absolutely no fear.
Wow. There was a major payout by Barack Obama. How much money did we give Iran, and how much of that money then filtered down into terrorist groups like Hezbollah? What did Trump do when he got in the presidency? And then what did Biden do that worsened the situation?
President Obama, now in his second term, and it is August 4th of 2016, and he allowed a financial transfer of over $400 million that was sent on pallets via an airplane directly to Iran. The transfer had to do with Iran's nuclear program.
Obama had secretly arranged that plane delivery of $400 million in cash on the same day that Iran released four American prisoners and formally implemented the nuclear deal. Now, this $400 million transfer had been announced in January of 2016 as part of the Iran nuclear deal. The money, as you mentioned, was flown into Iran on wooden pallets stacked with Swiss francs, euros, and other currencies as the first installment of a $1.7 billion settlement resolving claims at an international tribunal at The Hague over a failed arms deal under the time of the Shah. Not surprisingly, details of the cash delivery drew condemnation of the Iran deal from Republicans. They charged that the administration had empowered a major sponsor of terrorism because the nuclear agreement enabled Tehran to re-enter the international economy and gave it access to long-frozen funds. In addition, Republicans at the time in 2016 said the cash delivery, the $400 million to Iran from America, amounted to a ransom payment that violated long-standing U.S. practice not to pay for hostages. And it encouraged Iran to hold on to its remaining American prisoners until they could get more money from us. Trump said at the time, Iran was in big trouble. They had sanctions. They were dying. We took off the sanctions and made this horrible deal, and now they're a power. Why would America ever want to fund our enemy that has developing nuclear capability that had not yet come to full fruition? I don't understand why Barack Obama would be okay with that. Why would Obama sign off on that? I mean, yeah, Democrats are kind of crazy, but why would we want to fund our own enemy and help them develop nuclear capability, number one? And number two, we know that money would trickle down to their various terrorist enterprises like Hezbollah.
I don't believe Barack Obama is pro-Israel whatsoever, and I would not be surprised if, and this is, I talk about it in my book.
Your book, God's Daytimer.
I think you're going to see all kinds of civil war happening right here in the United States in the next few months because our State Department has never liked Israel, and they want to actually support our enemy. I really believe we have a deep state that is working contrary to the citizens of the United States.
What would animate the State Department to oppose Israel in light of the fact that they're the one lone voice of freedom in the Middle East?
Well, I believe the deep state is involved because they want a one world government. They would rather work with dictators than with democracies. Israel is a big democracy right in the Middle East, and I believe they're even going to try to take down the United States itself. This is why we're being invaded on our border from over 100 different countries. I believe we're going to see terrorist attacks right here in the United States before the end of this year. You're going to see suicide bombers probably blowing themselves up in grocery stores or gas stations. I believe it's because there are some politicians who really want to take down America and bring in a global government, a currency that is all digital. This is where we are headed.
So $400 million in cash in the middle of the night by a plane that President Barack Obama signed off on August 4th, 2016. Then in November of 2016, President Trump is elected to the shock of many. What does he do with the rest of that $1.7 billion settlement? Does he basically rip up that piece of paper and say, we're not going to give another dime to Iran?
He stopped the payments to Iran, and he also decided to boycott them and do everything he could to make them collapse and maybe even have a new group of leaders there. His whole focus was draining all the money out of the country, stopping it.
Do you believe that President Trump's decision to drain the money from Iran led to the 4 years of peace worldwide that we saw while President Trump was in office?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. Only to have the Biden administration undo it and turn it around so they again are being funded with billions of dollars, which is what helped Hamas and Hezbollah continue to attack Israel. And what the Biden government did, trying to make peace this last year between Israel and Hamas and Iran, and what they ended up doing to appease the Republicans and the public, they gave it into Qatar's hands. And Qatar then would give a little bit to Iran here and there as they followed, you know, what America wanted. But the problem is Qatar is the biggest funder of Islamic terror. And so what good did it do to have Qatar have all of that money that they went ahead and is sending to Iran and to Hamas anyway? It's just our State Department seems to be brainless.
So one of the reasons why President Trump, I know, is so insistent on American energy independence is so that, number one, we have greater control over our economy and we're not subservient to foreign countries' available oil and the price going up. And number two, we don't want to buy foreign oil from places like Qatar because we know it indirectly and directly funds our very enemies who want to destroy us, correct?
Exactly. Hit the nail on the head.
How important is it, in your view, that Americans reelect President Trump in light of these various foreign policy issues we've touched on?
Very important. People aren't looking at the big picture. I believe at the rate that we're going, God in the Bible literally said he's going to destroy every nation that tries to divide the land of Israel. We have to look at that bigger picture. That has to be what we understand. We have to stop the Middle East terrorists.
In your view, is what's happening now between Israel and Hamas something that is referenced even obliquely in the Bible, or is it not that fine-tuned?
No, it is very fine-tuned. As a matter of fact, in Exodus, God said he will have war with Amalek in every generation.
That's in Exodus 17, verse 16.
Hitler was the Amalek of last century. Iran is the Amalek of this century. Now, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. Esau hated his brother Jacob, wanted to kill him. We see the whole spirit of Amalek is to destroy the Jewish people and make them not become a nation anymore. It's symbolic of man's pride, where we don't want God of heaven telling us what to do. We want to do whatever we want to do and what's right in our own eyes.
Pastor Biltz, no doubt you touch on the broader implications of the Iran-Israeli conflict in your book, God's Daytimer, The Believer's Guide to Divine Appointments.
In my book, I'm the only one who mentioned over a year ago that Iran would attack Israel in April. Iran hadn't attacked Israel in 75 years. But as I understand the Bible, I knew they were going to be attacking this last April. And we're going to see it again, I believe, maybe this fall or next April as well. The broad picture has to do with the Lord's soon return. He said that he will have war with Amalek in every generation. And I believe this is the last generation. We will be seeing the Messiah's return within the next 14 years.
Although no one knows the day or time, so you can't predict that.
But you know what's funny? A lot of people don't understand that, because the Bible says they're supposed to know the times and seasons. And this is why I wrote the book, God's Daytimer. We all believe that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He fulfilled Passover on Passover. He fulfilled unleavened bread on unleavened bread. He fulfilled first fruits on first fruits. He fulfilled Pentecost on Pentecost. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he will fulfill the fall feast to the day as well. And I don't know the date. I don't know what year. But we have to understand the next feast to be fulfilled is Rosh Hashanah, and it will be fulfilled on Rosh Hashanah.
Explain how those first three feasts were fulfilled.
About 1,500 years before the Messiah even came, God told Moses to keep Passover every year on Nisan 14. And the problem is English. They were called convocations, but that really means a dress rehearsal. So every year they killed the Passover lamb on Nisan 14, because what's going to happen? The Messiah is going to die on Nisan 14. They had to keep the Feast of First Fruits. That's when Messiah rose. And so they also did the rehearsal of the Messiah riding on the Feast of First Fruits. Now, most Christians think Pentecost happened first in Acts. No, the Jews were the first Pentecostals. In 1500 BC, they had kept Pentecost, And in Deuteronomy 16:16, they were commanded to keep Pentecost. So that's why all the Jews in Acts were there for the Feast of Pentecost. In the book of Acts, they had to be there. But the thing is, when you know the pattern, the Lord was crucified at 9 in the morning. That's the time of the morning sacrifice. He died at 3 in the afternoon. That's the time of the evening sacrifice. As a matter of fact, God had King David write the funeral hymns for Messiah 1,000 years before he came. Many people, it says in the Gospels, they sang a hymn and went over to the Mount of Olives. I know the words to the song they sang. It was the psalm. The last psalm they sing, which was their hymn book, every Passover is Psalm 118. When you look at this, and this is what I go through in my book, God's Day Timer, everything was pre-planned. God said, I'm going to decide what day my son is going to die. I'm going to decide what time he's going to die. And I'm going to decide what songs would be sung at his funeral. There is so much detail Christians miss. And when it talks about not knowing the day or the hour, who's he talking to? In context, he's talking to the foolish virgins. He's talking to the evil servants. He's talking to the sleeping church everywhere. That's who he's talking to when he says you won't know the day or the hour. You go to 1 Thessalonians 5:1-4, it says that day will not take you like a thief because you know the times and the seasons.
The book that you've referenced throughout this conversation, Pastor Biltz, is God's Day Timer, The Believer's Guide to Divine Appointments. You have the third edition available right there on your website. If you want to take a look at that, you want to get his book, God's Day Timer, it's at the El Shaddai Ministries website, which is esm.us, esm.us. Pastor Biltz, thank you for joining us today on Generations Radio.
Well, thank you so much. What an honor to be able to be on your program.
I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. Would love to hear your feedback about today's conversation. Send that to adam@theworldview.com, adam@theworldview.com, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.